We have already heard this morning a little bit about some of the Bible stories that our children learned at Bible school this week on the story of the Exodus. I told George Cope a few minutes ago that he was sitting in the Jordan River. Last night, that area of the sanctuary was the Jordan River. The center aisle a few nights before was the Red Sea. As we traveled through all of the journeys and remembering how God was good to the people of Israel. So this morning, I want to read from Exodus chapter 4. This is a part of the story that was not part of Bible school. So children, you have not heard the story this week, so pay attention to this story. But it does have some of the same themes that we have heard this week. So hear this reading from Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. This is at the burning bush when God is calling Moses to deliver the people from slavery. Then Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back into your cloak." So he put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or heed you, you shall take some water from the Nile and will pour it on the dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I have never been eloquent, either in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "What of your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. He indeed shall speak for you to the people. He shall serve as a mouth for you, and you shall serve as God for him. Take in your hand the staff with which you shall perform the signs." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God gives Moses three signs. These are signs to believe, signs that demonstrate God's power, so that the people of Israel and eventually Pharaoh and the Egyptians will indeed believe that Moses is sent by God. Perhaps these signs are for Moses too, so that Moses will believe in his own calling, believe in himself, and will trust in God. These are signs to believe. The first sign is the staff turning into a snake. The second is the leprosy that appears on Moses' hand and then disappears as he follows God's instructions. And the third sign is a word from God that when Moses drips water from the Nile on the ground, it will be turned to blood. These three signs are given to Moses to prove to the people of God, to the people of Israel, that their God, God, has indeed sent Moses to rescue them. And at the end of chapter 4, Moses and his brother Aaron go to the elders of the Israelites, and they tell them what God had told Moses, and they perform these signs in the sight of the people, Scripture tells us. And in verse 31, we read, "The people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had given heed to the Israelites and that he had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped." These are signs to believe. That was the purpose of the signs, and the signs fulfilled the purpose. The people did indeed believe. These are signs of God's power, and they are signs that God's power is specifically with Moses. In response to these signs, and a little more convincing on God's part, Moses undertakes this enormous task of leading God's people to freedom. In response to these signs, the people of Israel, enslaved to Egypt, bow down and worship God. All three of these signs, in some form or another, show up again later in the story of Moses and the people of Israel. The first of the signs to recur takes place only three chapters later in Exodus chapter 7. And hopefully our children do remember this part of the story. God told Moses in Exodus 4 to drip a few drips of water from the Nile on the ground, and those drops would be turned into blood. But in Exodus chapter 7, God takes it up a notch, or rather quite a few notches. Rather than just turning a few drops of the Nile into blood, God turns the whole river into blood. And not only that, but God tells Moses to tell Aaron to stretch out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and all of the water in rivers and canals and pools, even water in stone and wooden jars, will be turned to blood. The third sign to believe that God gives to Moses later becomes the first of the 10 plagues with which God demonstrates God's power to all of Egypt. The other two signs to believe from Exodus chapter 3 or Exodus chapter 4 do not recur until many years later in the book of Numbers. In Numbers chapter 12, we find a story of some conflict between Moses and his siblings. Moses' sister Miriam and brother Aaron speak against their brother Moses, and they seem to be jealous of Moses. They seem to be resentful that he is God's primary spokesperson. Perhaps they feel they are not getting quite enough credit for their role in leading God's people. And so God punishes them by striking Miriam with leprosy for 7 days, and she must be outside the camp for 7 days. I would say that does not seem entirely fair, since after all, they are both complaining, and yet only Miriam is stricken with leprosy. But the purpose of the punishment in the story, much like the original sign of leprosy that God gave to Moses, is to be a sign of God's power, and to be a sign that God's power is specifically with Moses. It is crucially important that the people recognize God's power and Moses as God's leader. The book of Numbers also tells a story that reminds us, and would certainly have reminded the people of Israel, of Moses' staff being turned into a snake. In Numbers chapter 21, the people in the wilderness complain incessantly against God. And God sends poisonous serpents to bite the people, which result in many deaths. And so they cry out to God, they cry out to Moses, and at God's instruction, Moses makes a serpent out of bronze and places it on a pole, so that whenever someone is bitten by a serpent, they look at the bronze serpent on a pole, at this reminder of God's power, and they survive. Centuries later, God will send another leader to give the people God's instructions, as Moses did, to lead the way to freedom, and to offer the people salvation from that which would otherwise kill them. This one sent by God will be God's own son, and he himself will be placed upon a pole of sorts, upon a cross, and all who look to him, all who believe in him, will not die, but will live. In John chapter 3, in the Gospel of John, Jesus himself makes this connection between his role as Savior and the snake in the desert years ago. Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." I imagine nearly all of us recognize the second part of that passage, but you may not have known that John 3:16 comes right after Jesus comparing himself, comparing his role to the role of that serpent that Moses set on a pole in the desert, the sign of a snake becomes an important sign of God's salvation for many, many generations to come. Of course, here in Exodus chapter 4, Moses has no idea that this sign that God is giving him now will reach so far into the future, will carry so much significance for God's people, even all of the way to us today. We too recognize God's salvation in Jesus lifted up upon the cross. This sign that God gives Moses is a sign to believe, and it foreshadows the sign to believe of Jesus, the sign that God has given us. And this week at Vacation Bible School, our goal has been to give our children signs to believe this important truth about God that you have seen on the logo, if we can show the logo in a minute, and that you have seen on the shirts that the children shouted, that some of you shouted in our song, that God is good. That is this important truth about God, and these signs point to that. These signs point that God is good, that God is with us. And this is the tool, this is the resource, this is the sign we have sought to give our children this week. And so I want to encourage you to look for this sign in your own life, to look for signs of God's goodness. May these be signs to believe. We may not have a staff that turns into a snake. We may not have a leprous hand, thankfully. We may not have a river of blood, but we have our own signs to believe. We have God's goodness. We have signs of God's goodness all around us. And so may we believe. May we believe with our minds, and may we trust with our lives. Our hymn of response this morning is another Vacation Bible School song, but it is also a hymn. It is hymn number 640, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. At Vacation Bible School, we sang a slightly different version, but the children will probably recognize some of the words as we sing this hymn 640, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. May we trust in God. May we trust that God is good. As we sing, I'll be here at the altar table. If anyone has a decision on your heart you would like to share with our church family, I would welcome the opportunity to hear from you as we sing and respond together.